We did miracles of divine introduction, right? We did miracles of uncommon provision, right? And we did miracles of divine speed. We did the miracles of open heaven. We did the miracles of territorial possession. We did the miracles of being blessed. And we did the miracles of mantle activation. We did the miracles of divine promotion. So tonight, we'll be doing miracles of divine restoration. Miracles of divine restoration. So, in the world of miracles, miracles are categorized in different categories. The most important thing, if God wants to do something in your life, it's either he'll bring it back or he'll bring it to you through miracles of speed. These are miracles where things will happen quicker. Some protocols are jumped. Are you here? King Saul was looking for the what? For the donkeys. Trust you me, processes, everything was jumped. People who knew Saul when they were visiting another country, when they came back from that country, they found him as a king. They left him as a best friend. You leaving this direction and you're coming back, your friend is a king. So God can work miracles in a certain way that people can be shocked. In a short period of time, things can happen around you. We spoke about the miracles of mantle activation. Mantle simply is the anointings that are operating in somebody. And we looked at David. David had different mantles. Among the mantles that David was operating was the mantle of worship. David was a worshiper. David had also the mantle of love, God's love. This man, he had a certain love. God loved this man in a certain way, and he also loved God in a certain way. David had mantles of victories. He will kill, whether you're a lion, whether you're Goliath, whosoever you are, if you are fighting with David, trust you me, you are bound to lose. So he had a mantle of victories. There are other mantles he didn't have. A very good example, the mantle of the prophetic, like how other prophets had. So he had to call those men who had those mantles and say, what is God saying? And they would speak to him, the Nathans, the other great other prophets. So he realized there were other mantles he didn't have. So he knew what to do. In order to achieve what he wanted, there were other mantles he had to activate. So you see in the Bible, there are miracles David performed because he activated other mantles which he didn't have. Are you here, right? Now, it's important, as I said to you, to identify what mantles are you associated with. So, miracles of mantle activation. We spoke about that. Elisha operated. He activated the mantle of Elijah and walked into it. Peter activated the mantle of Jesus right there. And the man caught fish like he has never done it. It was not Jesus catching the fish. Jesus said, you do it. Trust you me, people didn't go and say, Jesus caught fish. Until today, we talk about Peter caught fish because the man activated the mantle right in his front. The mantle of multiplication, which Jesus has. Daniel had a mantle of what? Wisdom. He was an extraordinary strategist. These are men who operated in these mantles. The mantle of power, that he will stand like this and shut the mouth of a lion will do nothing. They will go in fire and fire will do nothing. So you can be in a prophetic ministry and they have no any mantle you're activating from your prophet. Oh, are you here, somebody? I'm telling you, there are mantles you must activate. There are mantles you should see. I told you this before, that I've seen some of my sons, they will just activate the mantle of prophetic. They'll go and begin to prophesy, but they wonder nothing is growing, nothing is happening. Because they only took the mantle of prophecy from me and not the mantle of prayer. So it's very important to discover mantles, because the mantles can help you. And I'm saying this to you. Mantles can help you. If I can take, that's why we call it mantle. If I take this handkerchief and I give a person, they will receive it. And I'll say, I took a mantle from the prophet, but I don't even know I gave them for what mantle. What was it for? What was it for? Do you know Elisha took the mantle from Elijah, but he didn't take one mantle? Are you there? He began to do miracles Elijah was doing, but there was one mantle he didn't take it. Are you here? Elijah had a mantle of overcoming death. This man went to commit suicide. He went in the bush, in the desert. The Bible says he didn't eat. He drank nothing. He said, I want to die. So he went in the wilderness. There, when he was about to die, an angel came. Because he went in the desert. He said he wants to die with hunger. When he was about to die, an angel came with bread. And he said, sir, you're not dying. And I just said, eh? He said, no, meat. The Bible says the angel gave him meat. It was just that he would never die. Am I talking to you? Oh, yes. Yet Elisha took the same mantle. But he didn't take one mantle. He was just so focusing on miracles. And he forgot one important mantle. The spirit of Elijah does not die. Yet he died. Elisha died of a disease. Did you hear that? Yes. He died of what? Which he was healing. He died of a disease. And that disease that killed him, when he was put in the grave, yet there was a mantle that was carrying which does not what? Die. When he was put in the grave, a dead body which was put on his bones, that body resurrected. Do you understand? The spirit in his bones does not what?
Die.
Years later, 2,000 years later, God says about John, 2,000 years later, that spirit does not die. God says to John, he will go in the spirit and power of Elijah. God is talking about the mantle of Elijah. Because the spirit of Elijah does not die. To make things worse, when Jesus is praying, who appears? Elijah and Moses appear. So he was a son. Only took one mantle. And he didn't take the other mantle. And this is where you see some people flowing nicely in other mantles. In the other mantle, they don't. I refuse to be such a person. Come on, somebody say, I refuse. I refuse. Say, every mantle,
I
tap it. Are you here? Say, mantles. Now, let me show you something quickly. Today we are dealing with the miracles of divine restoration. In this one, our focus will go on supernatural restoration of all that has been lost, stolen, or damaged. These could be items. This could be years, this could be money, relationships, marriages, body parts, blood, heart, liver, anything that has been damaged, brain, memory loss. It goes to relationships, marriages that have been stolen or damaged. Things have been lost, opportunities, contracts, businesses. John 2, verse 25 to 26, the most common scripture. We have used it before for the past 10 years. We have been praying on this scripture, and we're using this scripture again. It says,
so I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. My great army, which I sent
all right
among you.
Now, if you look at the scripture, I will restore to you the years. Now, God here is not dealing with what you have lost. He's dealing with the years the enemy messed up. Some of you, your business by now, it was supposed to be a multi-million-dollar business. But for the past years, the enemy wasted all the time. And God doesn't say, I will restore your business. He said, I will restore the years. Why? And for what? And what will happen when the years are restored? Verse 25. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten. In verse 26, you shall eat in plenty and be satisfied. And praise the name of the Lord your God. So the praising of God will happen after I have restored. And I declare something.
Yes.
You will praise God this year. What have I said?
I'll praise God this year.
You will praise God this year.
I receive.
There are miracles of restoration. So these type of miracles, they begin to happen. Things that have been damaged, lost, stolen. He begins to work on those areas. And I want just to raise up a two hands and say, Father, restore to me the years.
Father, restore to me the years.
Say amen.
Amen.
Are you here, right?
Yes.
It is not just about recovering what has been lost. No, it isn't. It is about enjoying, experiencing complete turnaround. It is all about God restoring the wasted years. Relationships, finances, opportunities that have been stolen or damaged in all the years you ever lived. These could be years you know or you don't know. It can also be about your health being restored from sickness, skin problems, hair problems. I have seen people who we have prayed for who didn't have hair. After praying for them, God restored their hair back. And these miracles can happen by, number one, repenting and seeking forgiveness for the past mistakes and failures. That's number one. Because the Bible says he forgave their sins and what? And healed them. I don't mean all sickness. This is the approach. No. I'll give you number two and number three. So to some, for them to be healed, it's a simple thing. Ask God, forgive me. For other people to be restored for the things they lost, it's a simple thing. Ask God, forgive me. So if you want God to restore you tonight, ask God. Help me where I failed. Because restoration goes together with repentance. Number two, persistence and unwavering faith. All the men in the Bible who were restored were men who never doubted. Years past, they stood on the promise, I know God will restore me. And he did. Am I speaking to you?
Yes.
Let's talk about Abraham, the man who had faith. The Bible says he did not stagger through unbelief. He never staggered through unbelief. He was strong in faith, believing that he who promised was able to perform. Let's talk about Job. Job, he lost everything. But the man was persistent. He said, God will restore me. And God restored. And I want everybody else here who's believing God for restoration tonight to say confidently, God will restore me.
God will restore me.
I'm telling you this, you shall see this happening this year. Number three, declaring God's promise of restoration over your life. Can you imagine God asking a question, can these bones live? Do you know what is a bone? A bone is something that has gone beyond death. It's not like there's death, somebody has died and God is asking, can this person resurrect? No. These are bones, remains. The flesh is gone and God says, can they live? What type of restoration is this? Something that is completely finished in your life. You have even forgotten about. There is no hope that this thing can come again in your life. God says, do you know these bones can live? I can restore them back to life. This is something that you cannot even think it can happen. Your bones can be restored to life. But how? God said, speak a word. Say that, says the Lord, you shall live. God said you have to declare a word over your bones. If you want restoration, keep on speaking the word of God over your bones. Keep on speaking his word over your dead situation, over your lost, damaged situation. Say, it shall live. Come on, declare again, it shall live. Say, you bones, you shall live. You bones, you shall live. You shall live. So God says, say unto them, you shall live. That dead situation, I don't care how bad it is, but life can appear. Miracles of restoration. Number four, right? Taking practical steps to rebuild and restore what's been lost. Taking what? This is beyond just saying, God will restore me spiritually. No. If spiritually you are not like the way you used to be before, begin to take action. Go back into prayer like you used to pray before. Go back into fasting. Go back into the Bible. Begin to read the Bible the way you used to do before. Not just saying, amen, we are being restored tonight. I receive, and you go home. No, take practical steps If you want restoration, you have to do something about it. You cannot say you are being restored spiritually just by saying, I receive. You have to take a practical step. There are some things you have to cut them off. There are some things you have to bring them in. Restoration needs a practical step. I'm talking to somebody right here. God said to David, you know, David, when he lost everything, he lost his children, his family, he lost everyone. And his own soldiers said, we are killing you now because we have also lost our families because of you. David went before the Lord and said, should I pursue the enemy? Will I have restoration? Will I recover? God said, pursue them, for you shall recover. You shall restore everything. He didn't end saying, I receive. He had to take a practical step. He said, everybody take your weapon. Hey, we are opening businesses this year. We are investing this year. Your money is coming back. Any business you put your hand upon, it shall multiply. There shall be restoration and recovering. Your money is coming back. Every job opportunity you find, you apply, they'll pick you, because in this year, we are talking about restoration. Say, my money is coming back. So we're getting into practical steps. If it's to open something, we open. If it's to apply somewhere, we apply. That's how restoration comes. It doesn't just come by saying, I receive. Some here. The last miracle that will take us into receiving tonight is miracles of divine protection. Hey, this one. You can have as many insurances you may have, but there are also spiritual insurances. Different policies, our life policy. You can get as you can, but in the realms of the spirit, you also need some. You hear me? You need some. Miracles of divine protection. This goes beyond just protection from harm. This is also an area of economic protection. Imagine you having money all the times. When you have your money, you can't even understand how your money finishes from your hands. Imagine making losses all the time. And imagine this point in time, God just performs a miracle of protection that your money must be protected. Imagine a person who opens a business, it gets attacked, it shuts down. He opens another one, attacks, they come and shuts down. Imagine a relationship, attacks, gone. Marriage, attacks, gone. Imagine then God says, tonight I'm going to perform a miracle of divine protection. Then boom, you start a job, no one attacking it. You start a project, moving well. You start a business under protection, a relationship under protection. You need divine cover. How many says I need protection? Let me tell you why I put it as the last one. Let me tell you, because all what we are doing here, if there be no protection, it's all useless. You will receive your deliverance. Tomorrow, demons are back. You will receive a financial breakthrough. In a few months, you are broke again. The biggest miracle you need is a miracle of protection. Until David said, he hides me. David had this type of policy. He had this type of life cover, that God would actually hide him in the shadow of his wings. Did you get it? Do you get it? At some point, so I was looking scenarios of David when he met the enemy face to face like this. One time he was in a cave, and King Saul had a sword looking for him in the bush, and he wanted to help himself. So King Saul looked at the cave like this and said, ah, let me go in this cave and help myself. Now King Saul goes in the cave. He's looking for David, not knowing that he's in the same what? David came out of that cave and wrote a psalm. At that point, he was actually covered in the shadow of God's wings. The man was in the same cave with David without seeing David. Because the guy, you're not getting it. I decree and declare miracles of divine protection. I said the miracles of divine protection. And I looked another point. Are you here? I looked at the point when David was hiding in Philistine, and the brothers and the cousins of Goliath discovered him. They said, the man who killed Goliath is hiding in our town. From and the Bible says he began to behave like a madman. He was pretending to be a mad person. They actually came and looked at him like this. And they said, ah, no, this guy is useless, not him. David, he says, at that point, he was under the pavilion of God's wings. So I was looking, because he is writing that he hides in the wings. So I was checking which scenarios where he was actually, they look so normal. This is what I'm telling you. It can look so normal, but you're actually being protected. There was a moment when he was being rejected by his own brothers. His own father. The prophet says, bring all your children here. He only brought some men as David. Because according to the father, he was useless. And David wrote to say all those activities were happening to protect him. There are moments God can just make people to start rejecting you, abandoning you. Sometimes it's God's protection. Am I speaking to you? Do you understand? If David was accepted, he could not be at the field taking care of the sheep. He could be at the battlefield with his brothers. But he had to be rejected to meet the lions. Do you know where he was taking care of the sheep? A place where he was meeting lions and nobody cared. He was meeting them alone. He was meeting and nobody cared whether he's safe or not. So God will allow you to meet the lions and the bears because he knows he's preparing you. When he came out of there, he said, hey, I have killed a lion before. Who is this? If he didn't have that experience, he would not challenge Goliath. Some of you, if these problems you have today, if you never had them, you would never challenge your next problem. You will be able to say, what is this nonsense? I have survived terrible things. Karabashika pra. God told me, he said, I'll begin to raise up my hand. And those who begin to believe me for miracles of protection, I'll raise up a standard against everything that is coming their way. The spirit of stagnation will never hit their house. The power of hell will not hit their finances. Yes, I shall protect their health and I shall keep themselves. Say amen.
Amen.
Have you read the scripture? Anybody in the Bible who God was so delighted, he was promising protection. You can get a breakthrough. But if there's no protection, you lose it. You lose it. I want us to pray for this. This is a serious matter. Oh God, protect me.